CR101Radio.com. Podcasts and more. Welcome back to another episode of The Last Kingdom. I am your host, Jeremy Walker. This is episode number 10 for March 29th, 2024, and it is entitled, He Arose. This is going to be our Easter episode. We are going to be talking about the resurrection of both Jesus and the saints of God. We're going to be talking about many different subjects around the world, about females who are on OnlyFans who get converted, about shipping illegals all around the United States of America, liberal squatter laws, P. Diddy sexual exploitation investigations, the Baltimore Bridge catastrophe and distraction, Florida banning 14-year-olds from social media accounts, and much more. Well, thank you again, guys, for joining me on The Last Kingdom. I'd like to go ahead and start this episode by wishing everybody a very, very happy Easter. That's right, it is Good Friday, and it is the Good Friday weekend. It is one of the biggest attendance days of the year for churches around the world. Why? Because it's Christmas and Easter, and now it's time to go back to church. The vast majority of people do not understand Easter nor its significance. The Easter holiday itself, in and of itself, many people have a problem with it. The celebration or how it's done, the resurrection eggs, or should we have Easter eggs? Should we be doing egg hunts at all, or Easter baskets for that matter? Well, people get caught up in a lot of things, but today we're not going to get caught up in the weeds. Today we're going to talk about why Easter is important. I want to start with 1 Corinthians 15, reading verses 12 through 19. Quote, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Unquote. This passage is one that, as I was growing up in the church and during Easter sessions or during Easter Sundays or however you want to call it, I never heard anybody talk on this subject. They kind of focused on Jesus's resurrection. But when I was growing up in the church, and I did grow up in the church as a child, I kind of got the idea that in this life we are saved by Jesus, saved through his death, so we can have eternal life with Christ in heaven. But the concept of the resurrection of mankind, that's right, the resurrection of our bodies in a physical state, a new physical state, and then a judgment where God's people will then live upon a brand new earth physically, and his enemies will be physically then destroyed and punished forever. These concepts were never taught. And I don't remember anybody ever discussing them. Because if you pay attention to what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, Easter is about not only Jesus' resurrection, but our own. That's right, our own. How many Easter Sundays did you have people talking about not only the resurrection of Jesus, but also the future resurrection of his people, us? And if that's not in focus, then Jesus' resurrection is meaningless, and we only have a hope in this life right now, but we're not actually going to get a second life. just going to have some kind of a spiritual existence for the rest of eternity. Well, that's not Christianity. I came across a super interesting meme, which is right around this time span. You know how social media is. Everything is kind of tailored to the times and the whatever's going on. And it was a really neat comic strip that showed in the first strip soldiers in front of a tomb that had a seal on it. Obviously, it was supposed to be Jesus' tomb. The second panel shows the tomb door blowing off, flying forwards, the seal coming off, and it just shooting across the panel. And the third shows, of course, now the door is open. Where the door used to be is way away from there on the ground. And the soldiers go, uh-oh. Well, that's right. That's exactly right. See, Easter time is the time where we preach not only Jesus crucified and Jesus' resurrection, but also the resurrection of his people and judgment. A new heavens and a new earth where evil is wiped out. God's people are saved. They are cleaned, given new bodies, new purpose, and are given a task of now running God's world. And his enemies? Well, they face judgment and eternal torment. Very, very few people understand this type of doctrine. The problems that the people in Corinth had, where they didn't even believe in a resurrection, isn't far from where we're at today. Because it's just as bad to teach that there isn't one than to not teach it at all. To teach like it's some spiritual existence as if we're angels or spiritual bodies, but not physical bodies. Where the Bible is very clear, that's not Christian doctrine. I like the panel in the cartoon where the soldiers said, uh-oh. Because as soon as Jesus was raised from the dead, game over. I'm reminded of that scene in the Infinity War where Thor builds his hammer and then comes to the big fight scene there in Wakanda. And when he shows up, the Hulk, of course, is no longer the Hulk. He's now in a Iron Man-type suit. And he looks at everybody and says, oh, you guys are in so much trouble. Because now Thor had arrived. And of course, when he did, the war was over here at this point. Well, that idea of Jesus coming out of the tomb and the war is over. Now, there's work to be done, to be sure. And there is work still being done, to be sure. But the war itself is over. The contest, like Christ said, it is finished. His work is done. It's a process from that point when Christ ascended, gave his people a job, and his return, where all of his enemies would be put under his feet, under his footstool. This is where we're at now. There's not a struggle for how this is going to turn out. It's just a matter of going through the motions, you could say. I want you, as the listener, to keep this in mind. You need to understand Christian doctrine, and the resurrection is extraordinarily important. Not just Christ's resurrection, but your own, and that of your children, if they are believers, if they are God's people. Life is not over at death. It's just beginning. We were born. We are going to live throughout this life. We are going to die. And then we are going to be raised from the dead. And then we are going to be one of two things, either living with a new purpose on a new world, as God's people, free of sin, or we're going to be in the judgment and in hell. But our lives are not over in death. It is a process which we are going through. The Bible talks about death, the body we currently possess, as a seed. The seed is not the thing that it is becoming. It's just the seed. It's the starter, you could say. When a man dies, just like the seed has to die for the plant to emerge, for that massive giant oak tree to emerge, the seed has to die first, and then the tree emerges. This is the biblical imagery that we're given about ourselves. During this Easter season, this is what should be being discussed, because we have hope, not just in the current lives we have, but in the life we are going to also get. Life is not over when you die. You don't have to dread the concept of your physical death right now. In a lot of ways, Rush Dooney had a great book, R.J. Rush Dooney, his book on 1 and 2 Corinthians, and this was 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. In that, he discusses many subjects because these are the subjects that Paul is discussing about biblical doctrine. And this subject matter, I think, can bring immense hope to people if they pay attention and listen to what Paul is teaching about this subject. Your life has meaning now. Where you're going has meaning as well, if you're one of God's people. If you're not, just like the Roman soldiers said. But for us, it's a thing of joy. Paul talked about the fact that when he died, it was not over. He was almost looking forward to it because we all know our struggles. We know it's difficult in this life. We're never fully free from sin right now, even though we might have new life in us. We are new creatures in Christ, yet there's still the struggle there of the old man that we have to fight with and die to daily. And when we die, that struggle ends. Christ then will raise us up from the dead with new bodies. No more struggle. We can finally serve God as we want to now, but then in the resurrection can do so fully and completely. It's a thing to look forward to. An amazing, wonderful thing. A lot of people will like to talk about the destruction of God's enemies, but they fail to think about their life in Christ that is yet to still come. The amazing, wonderful thing that it is. And so you can trudge now. You can fight yourself daily now. You can fight God's enemies now as best you can to live at peace with them. But to teach and to preach and to guide people, including specifically your own family, with hope, not just in this life, but you know where you're going. And you win. When Christ stepped out of that tomb, it was the end of his enemies and the beginning for all of us. And that's not yet done. But we have an amazing future to look forward to. And on this Easter Sunday, I want you to think about that. Not just about the gratitude we should have for Christ, but the amazing opportunity you have now in this life. The right now matters. It's not just in the by and by. What you do now matters. When you die, there is no more opportunity for reward. While you're alive, every single day, you get a chance and opportunity to serve Christ and God daily. And we're told, very simply put, that as we obey God, we are going to earn reward. Do you want reward? Since you know where you're headed, when it's a guarantee where you're headed, when you get there, do you want Christ to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Here is your reward. Or do you want, "Well, welcome to the life that I've created for you. But what did you do with the time that I gave you? You squandered it. You have no reward." No, I think we want to have an amazing reward. And that means to understand that right now matters. And you are, if you're a child of God, going to see the resurrection, as will God's enemies. The only difference is, will you be resurrected and rewarded or not? So on this Easter, think on these things. Think about the confidence you have in not only what Christ has done, but what he's already promised is going to do as well, and the direction we are headed. Don't live this life in fret. Live it as an opportunity every day to earn reward. And live in confidence that you don't have to be scared about death. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. I want to jump to some events now. I love discussing events and giving the Christian's reaction to them. Christian Reconstruction is a thing that is near and dear to my heart because it is what the Christian's life is all about. You are literally reconstructing those things that have been broken and destroyed and are repairing those things. Now, we've already been told that this world is going to be wiped away. But while we're here, we are supposed to be building. We are supposed to be a preserving effect. That's why we're called salt and light. We do try to make the world a better place. Not that somehow by making the world a better place, it's going to stay here, because it's not. What the world's going to be is nothing compared to what it's like. But you get a chance to show what you're capable of. And as you obey God, you're reconstructing yourself, your family, and the future. The only question is, how are you going to reconstruct it? Are you going to reconstruct it based on what God wants the world to look like? Your life, the life of your family, the life of your business? Or are you going to just do it however you want and have no reward? I want to talk about what happens, and this is something that our enemies despise and are scared of. There was on social media a woman who apparently made over $300,000 a month on OnlyFans, which means she basically was prostituting herself on the internet for money. She was a pornography content producer. According to the news that I saw about this woman, she was converted. That's right. She was converted. And when she was converted, what did she do? She gave up the life of an OnlyFans pornography content producer. That's what she did. It changed her life. It gave her a new direction. It was said that Stalin, at one point, had said that Christianity, stripped of its trappings, has the ability to change the most depraved of men. In other words, get rid of the institutional church, and at its root, what Christianity does is change a man permanently. It changes them to a new creation. Man can't change man, but God can. He takes the thief and he turns him honest. He takes the woman who is making pornography and makes her an honest woman. This is what the Holy Spirit does when he gives new life to us. Now, we don't change men when we teach and preach, but we do place the seeds there that are used by God, his word planted in them to be then given life when the Holy Spirit decides to do so. And this is the kind of thing that we're talking about what is reconstruction? The woman who was producing filthy pornography no longer does so. Her life has new meaning, she has a new master, she has a new direction, and she is going to live in terms of that new faith. This is Christianity. This is what it does in the real world. No change in a person's life, then no true confession of faith. I do find, on a new subject, it interesting that in the United States today, America has still a sufficient Christian influence that the crazy wokeness that's going on today has to bring in unchristianized people, the quote-unquote illegals that they're bringing in, from foreign countries who are far less Christian influenced, if at all, to be on their side. Because they know that the current people in America are too Christian to agree with how they want the world to look. See, even though you, if you don't believe in the concept of Christian reconstruction, for some reason you think that we're not supposed to be influencing the world, well, your enemies don't agree. See, unlike you, they very much so believe in discipleship. They very much believe in evangelism, and they very much so have a vision for how they would like to see the future reconstructed. And in this case, they would like to see it reconstructed without Christ, without Christianity, and without anybody with Christian morals. To understand the current illegal immigration problem, you have to understand that subject. They want a post-Christianized world. But to get that, they can't get it through their type of evangelism. It's not working. They have to bring people and try to dilute the population with people who are non-Christian influenced. So, on one hand, It's a major problem. Obviously, we don't want people coming that will try to destroy our country. On the other side, it says a whole lot about the current Americans' character, and it's more Christian influence than people would like to give it credit for. In the same type of news, there have been people who are taking advantage of squatter laws in the United States. Now, some of these laws are well-meaning to prevent people from abusing renters. So some laws are attempting to do good things. However, most of the laws concerning the rentals and squatter laws are actually very destructive. But a good thing, which is interesting about seeing all these people come in and trying to abuse these laws, is that it draws attention at the destructive nature of them. And here in Florida, we had Governor DeSantis just this week starting to pass laws to get rid of these dangerous, restrictive things that take away the power of the homeowner and give them to someone else. See, it's interesting because good things are happening even when there are bad things taking place as well. If you only look at the world and see the negative, then you can't see the positives that are also taking place. As Christians, we have to see both. And for me, I can see people like Governor DeSantis, and he is helping to reconstruct things and make it better and more Christian. It's not only about those people who are doing so strictly from a I'm going to obey God's commandments basis. God uses every single person to bring about what he wants. And for me, whenever I see destructive laws that take away the privacy rights of homeowners and puts it in the hands of other people and see those things stricken down, that's very uplifting. It should be uplifting to us all. I want to shift over to a few small things before we end this episode. Puff Daddy and the Baltimore Bridge. People like to talk about things that are happening in the media, things that they know very little to anything about. They like to toss it into a blender of conspiracy and a web of deceit, and then pop out and say, look, this is all by design. Where on one hand, we understand that people do plot, people do plan, people do have things they wish to take place. But on the other hand, we also know that these same bureaucrats and the same government officials and things like that can't do anything. They're incompetent on every single level. Let them talk. You'll find out how incompetent they are. But then the conspiracy theorists make them out to be evil geniuses. Like somehow they are incompetent in everything except evil plans. Well, how about just for a second that we say these conspiracy theories are great and wild and fantastic to listen to, but if you stop and pay attention for half a second, maybe we have too much faith in people's ability to be evil, but we don't have the same faith in their ability to be good. No, I just don't think so. Incompetence is incompetent. It doesn't matter if it's attempting to lean into the good side of things and build, or if it's trying to lean into the evil side and destroy. Incompetency is incompetency. I want to finish up with something that's happening here in Florida, which I think needs a little bit of attention. And as Christians, it's something that we should pay attention to. Here in Florida, they're trying to ban any child under the age of 14 from owning a social media account. Now, why? Mostly because there's a lot of exploitation on the internet and people don't pay attention to their children and they can be exploited and are being exploited to a large degree by many people. But do we need a government to protect our children? Or did God give them parents? For me personally, my children, I don't allow to have access to the internet or social media accounts until they're 18. This way, if they are going to mess up and make mistakes, it's as an adult, not a child. Don't let people exploit your children. You're the parent, Christian. You're supposed to be protecting them. Why is Governor DeSantis in Florida having to be the one to protect children? Why aren't the parents? Where are they? Better yet, where are you? Are you protecting your children? I hope you are. This is Jeremy Walker for The Last Kingdom. Thank you for joining me, listening to some of my subjects. I'm wishing you a happy Easter. Thank you, and God bless.